Welcome, everybody, to the Greg Cherry Show. Obviously, the sad news at the top of the show, which we will address first, the passing of the very first Intercontinental Champion in WWE history, Pat Patterson. We will, like I said, discuss that as the show goes along. But, of course, alongside the West Coast professor, Jeff Meacham, I am Greg Cherry. And I hope you guys take this as a little bit of an escape. I know this show's kind of been an escape anyway because of what this year has been.
Yeah.
Hopefully we have some fun today. So on today's show, as we always do, football and wrestling talk. We're going to talk about that pattern to start with, so we'll fall shortly after that. Weird Law Wednesday, talking about some of the weird, which I don't know yet. I really need to go back through the shows and figure out which ones we have hit and which ones we haven't. But
yeah,
there are some interesting ones in Georgia.
Yes.
And of course, the Wednesday Q&A. So kicking off with the football and wrestling talk, like at the top of the show, Pat Patterson passed. Very influential in the wrestling business.
Yes.
And there are a lot of people giving their condolences. And of course, there are always those people out there, you know, trying to trash somebody because of what they did in their life. And let me just tell you something. If you're going to sit there and trash somebody because they made mistakes in their life or whatever the case may be, look at yourself in the mirror.
Yeah.
Because unless you're Jesus Christ, who was perfect, you have no room to talk.
Nope.
We all do stupid stuff. Every single one of us can be right. So, no matter what your opinions are of somebody, if you're going to trash them after they pass or whatever the case may be, I'm not naming names. It's petty to do that. Fact of the matter, they have everything. They might not have some skeletons. Who doesn't? But the guy had, he had friends. If you expect people to take it seriously, you lose somebody. Show the courtesy. I mean, we're not going to kiss their butt and say the greatest person ever. It's just what they can do in your life in some manner. At least show respect to that. That's really all I have to say about that. Just as I mentioned, the first ever Intercontinental Champion, the creator of, in my mind, the greatest gimmick match of all time, the Royal Rumble match. Now, what would wrestling be without the Rumble? Obviously, we wouldn't know because, you know, concept wouldn't exist. But the Royal Rumble has been consistently one of the most exciting events to look forward to since its inception in 1988. And I am actually in the middle of doing a Royal Rumble review for every single match that has ever happened in WWE history and WWE. So I feel like maybe Pat would have enjoyed that for me to give detailed analysis on his match. I don't know. In fact, I never met him, but it's, I feel led to go more in depth with it. You know what I mean? Right. It's, I feel like I should do him that. Jeff, what are your thoughts on Pat Patterson?
Well, first of all, I don't know if it's just me and Michael Gonzalez, but your mic is doing the Greg Cherry thing again. So just so you know, just so you know, while I do my thing, first of all, if I come off exhausted, it's because I am, because I talked with my friend Mark Bagwell for 4 hours yesterday live, so I'm a little exhausted. I did get a chance to meet Pat a couple times over the years. Didn't document anything as far as, you know, pictures or whatever, just because it wasn't like a moment where I could. It was just, we were just walking along or in chatting on an access or whatever. But just a genuinely sweet human being, creative as all hell. I've heard it all over social media today. The greatest Finnish man in the history of the WWE, if not of wrestling. Yesterday, Buff Bagwell talked about how great a Finnish man Pat was, and that he was so instrumental in a lot of the success of the finishes of the WWF back then. So, and to this day, and that's, Greg mentioned it, the Royal Rumble, Greg, go ahead.
I'm just making sure.
Okay, cool. All right. Greg's put it best, where would the road to WrestleMania be now without the Royal Rumble to send us on our way down that crazy 2.5-3 month path, So it's crazy. So, unfortunately, that we, I've seen a lot of, F2020 or whatever, because it's like, guys, it doesn't matter what year it is. It just happens to be, this is the crappiest year on record. But with all due respect to the shit show that is 2020, Pat was 79 years old. Okay. So, it's 2020 didn't do this. It's just that, we have to have another loss to talk about in wrestling. And, I saw a few people say, that people just tend to, over exaggerate or over, compensate their feelings of loss in wrestling. It's like, well, I've noticed, and Greg and I have both been in, involved, as far as working different shows or whatever, we tend to feel the loss more in our own little community, because we are so tight knit and often looked down upon by the outside world, that when one of our own passes, we kind of like band together and, feel it deeper than maybe we really should, because we're not, I'm not friends with Pat Patterson or Pat Patterson's family or Pat's partner or whatever, but I feel like I've known Pat, and I've gotten to meet Pat a few times, but we as a wrestling community always feel it deeper. And I guess that's just because we're an emotional bunch. I don't know. But he will truly be missed. And I know a lot of my friends that worked or have worked for WWE are really feeling it right now. My condolences to all of you who were truly Pat's friends. People tend to shit on the McMahon family quite a bit, but I know it's a rough morning at the house in Connecticut for sure right now. So, my condolences out to the McMahon family for their no doubt a huge loss. So anyway,
it's one of those things, and you guys all have to let me know if you're working again. That his contributions to the wrestling business, not just in the or on TV, for him being a character, or the case may be, he's truly one of the greatest signs for the business that really doesn't get the attention that he deserves. Yeah. Like I said, what's up?
Yeah, it's your entire picture, actually. You're cutting out all together, video and audio. Like, I don't know what's going on over there.
All right. Well, if you want to continue that, I will be right back.
I'm sorry, man. I feel bad. Pat is just I'm all by myself. Okay, so Pat just, he's, Greg mentioned the word character, for lack of a better term. Pat was the definition of the word character in more ways than one. Character as far as just a fun personality, a fun, like just a great, seemingly, from what I've experienced with him, just a fun person, but also character in terms of my good friend Adam Pierce puts it very wisely all the time, very simply. Character is what defines you. Reputation is what, you know, people think of you, but it's character that defines you. And I don't think there's very many people that had more character than Pat Patterson.
Yeah. All right. Now, before I continue on with my thing, am I good?
It seems like you're good now. So we'll see how things go on here.
All right. Well, obviously Pat Patterson was a big influence for me as a wrestling fan, considering what my favorite match type is.
Right.
And I actually had the honor of not competing in a WWE version, but one of my couple matches on the indies was a Rumble style match.
Right.
And it was just, it was just a fun thing to participate in. Like it's so exciting. No, I didn't win, but you know, I wasn't going to, but yeah, it's going to, excuse me. It's definitely going to be a loss. I mentioned in some messenger chat today, I don't think it was the NoDQ one, that they should dedicate this upcoming Royal Rumble to Pat, considering it was his match type. And I hope no, as all out as they possibly can go for 2021.
Right.
And hopefully, because the Rumbles is truly like everybody talks about WrestleMania being exciting. Sometimes I feel like the Rumble is more exciting than WrestleMania.
Yeah.
You know,
I agree.
It seems like that way anymore. And while WrestleMania is WrestleMania, the Rumble is just something special that you only get once a year. Yep. So we'll miss it. And I hope that any wrestling company that ever does a Rumble style match does you proud.
That's it. So before you do the thing, if we're going to talk wrestling talk still, we have to bring up Friday night.
Yes.
My goodness, man.
For those of you who were not watching on Friday, the video is still up on Aaron's channel, my channel, and Jeff's channel. The finale of Wrestling Trivia, where I faced off you, defeated them 10-1, officially. And then the post happened, and that was, I know it's been a few days, but it was still a surreal experience for me. The fact that so many people collaborated to surprise me stuff, because I got cameos, Christopher Daniels and Kurt Angle, two of my top five favorite wrestlers of all time. And of course, our rules reader, Sarah Pierce. You finally got her on, Jeff. You got your wish. And then she was a person too, which that was cool.
Yeah.
But besides all the cameos and the surprise got.
Yeah, dude, I again, like, I feel terrible because we're having this great moment and your video is just atrocious. Like, it's so okay. Well, I mean, we can see the belt, but you've been kind of that pretty much the entire show. Just so you know, I don't know what we're doing. I don't know what's happening, but yeah.
Damn. Tell you what, I'm going to switch what my internet is, because our power went out yesterday and it's been causing us issues. So let me switch.
Okay. Internet.
I'll be right back.
Okay. Very good. All right. So let me, I hate that I'm so freaking terrible. Anyway. So let me get Jermaine's post here. It says, I wonder if WWE will do something special, not just for Pat, but do something along the line, like maybe have the Intercontinental title main event, the pay-per-view, maybe main event TLC or the Rumble. The problem with that, and I'm not in any way trying to just, demean or disparage my old friend, Sami Zayn, but I don't see a situation where they're going to have Sami Zayn main event a show, a pay-per-view. He's not the character. He's not the gimmick to do that. There definitely needs to be something done at the Rumble, like Greg said. The Rumble was Pat's baby. The Rumble is Pat Patterson's ultimate contribution to WWE and WWE history and wrestling history. And really, you know, Greg mentioned it. Any company that does a Royal Rumble style battle royal definitely needs to look at Pat and, you know, thank them for that, because he's the guy. He's the reason that happened. So, again, before Pat. Wow. Hi. Before Greg comes back. Oh, seems like he's coming here now. Let's see if we've got the champ back. I mean, Friday for me anyway, because I kind of, you know, downplayed it as far as, you know, you guys could tell I was giddy and stupid and so excited it was going on. It was definitely great for me to be able to do that for Greg and for everybody that is a fan of the challenge, because it's funny that we're talking about Pat today and the fact that he, you know, was basically the father, the creator of the Royal Rumble. It's so stupid. I sat there in the seat Friday night, airing the show and doing the post game live. And I felt like it was a paternal figure, creator figure watching over this little thing that Aaron and Virtue and I had started 3 years ago and kind of helped get on its feet and get walking and, you know, get talking and, you know, created into this little person. And now it's a full grown ass man, and it is what it is now. And Greg is the reason it is what it is now. This man, he has taken this trivia, the concept of the show that we started, and just made it a huge thing. And, you know, we have a championship that we all felt the need to actually have created and conceptualized and delivered to the man who has defined the championship. And it was so rewarding to see the reactions. Like, Friday was the reactions. That's all it was for me. You know, seeing you react to Chris on screen and Kurt on screen and Sarah on screen, and then Sarah being live next to me on screen, which was amazing. The reaction there. And then when Jen came in with the belt and you created a custom belt, Jesus, just like your whole, it was so fun. And I just like, that was what everything since July has been about for me personally. So it was so awesome. And I don't know if I've had a better moment that wasn't quote unquote my own in my 18 years.
You know, it said it before and I'll say again, the fact that you had that confidence in me to get past July champion was because there were some tough matches. The Ruben match was over. And I believe I had another 10-7 match in there somewhere too. Is
pretty sure you did, yeah.
But it was definitely unbelievable. I may or may not have watched those particular interviews multiple times Friday. But yeah, it's hard to believe that in 2 days it'll be 1,000.
Yeah, I yeah.
And there were some trolls in the comments being like, oh, well, he didn't defend it for a while, so it wasn't technically 1,000. Are we going to have that argument forever? I've defended the title 36 times. What more do you want from me?
Yeah, I sat there and did the math. At least once every 28 days. So even the stupid, you know, semi-used every 30-day rule, it's in effect. Kiss my ass.
Yeah. I mean, it won't be for the tournament, but...
No.
But hey, the tournament so far with the lineup that I've got, and I'm not even done with the lineup, it's stacked.
Yeah.
Like, it is stacked with some good wrestling trivia minds.
Like, I'm scared enough about my match, and then I look at the rest of the bracket, I go, I'm in trouble.
Yeah, it's not going to be a walkthrough. It is not going to be a walkthrough. I honestly, even without the field filled out, I don't know who's going to win this thing.
No.
I had an idea. Like, I figured it was going to be like at least one of the champions in the finals, the last tournament. It obviously won't be able to happen here unless, you know, whoever wins your triple threat makes the finals, because the triple threat is the three champions. But yeah, Colin, you're in. You're in the tournament, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be interesting, especially because the triple threat have to create 33 options for that particular match.
Yeah.
But about that, I'm excited back to the hosting aspect of it, because I do miss it. Defending the chip is fun and very stressful, but sitting back being the host, because game show host is something that I just have for.
Exactly.
Host and watching just play out without losing this thing is fun. It's fun for me. So I'm looking forward to doing that at the beginning of the year.
Yep.
Yes, it is. It's a very lovely title. It's got No Deal and Greg Cherryburn to meet some network side plays. Good. But yeah, it's still, I don't think it's hit me yet. Like, I know I'm hitting 1,000 on Friday, but
right.
It's still there. Plus I already got to work already. Like, I have maybe 5 or 6 spots to fill for the tournament left. Mm-hmm. I do have a few people. I threw some Hail Marys out there for people who I might think would want to challenge, but I doubt I'm going to hear anything from them.
Right.
I honestly wanted to get Renee Young on, but
that would have been cool.
That would have been cool, but you know, I don't want to stress her out with, you know, her being pregnant and everything. So.
No.
That one probably happened. I did reach out to some bigger name wrestling trivia minds. Sean Rutt, unfortunately, because he wanted to lighten his schedule, which understandable.
Of course.
But at least I heard from him, so that was cool.
Right.
But yeah, we will see what happens. It's going to be an exciting time with the tournaments. And the triple threat match is technically a part of the tournament. It's a first round match.
Right.
So it's a 17-man tournament, which seems weird, but it makes sense once you see the bracket.
Right.
And as far as who everybody's facing, I mean, you three are the only know who you're facing.
Yeah.
Other than that, I haven't decided. I thought about doing random draw, but I might just play matchmaker.
There you go.
Yes, it is exciting. If somehow I make some win, we're meeting up at Bob Subs and doing it live. Hey, as long as I get to have Bob Subs, I'm good. You know, it's as long as we hit up Clarion, we're doing it, brother.
I was like, okay, so if I'm happy to be there, then that's going to be a fun challenge to pull off, because I can't fly.
Yeah. Well, maybe restrictions will be lifted by the end of the tournament. Who knows?
No, not that I can't fly because of COVID. I can't fly because of my concussions.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, good thing that wasn't a problem 7 or 8 years ago.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, like, apparently it was. I just wasn't told that.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. So that could have been an even more fun trip than we had planned. Yeah. Had a freaking brain spaz. That would have been exciting.
Jeff will travel and be like, we have to wait 3 days for Jeff's train to get here. So.
Yeah. Just coming by Pioneer Wagon, he'll be here in 6 months.
He's got to ford the river. He's got to take the ferry for $5. If anybody gets that reference, please let us know in the comments, because I don't want that to go over everybody's head.
Yeah. Well, yesterday's show was kind of if you don't understand it, too young for this room show. So yeah,
I mean, you did the TVMA thing, which.
Again, I don't apologize for much. I don't, but I did warn Aaron that it was going to be a live Mark Bagwell show. So that it is what it is. Yeah. So.
But also, if you haven't checked out the interview with Buff Bagwell, get some popcorn.
Popcorn, like a cooler next to you, so you don't have to get up and get drinks, because 4 hours, man.
Yeah. Exactly.
I did an interview that long in 18 years, and I feel like I'm still sitting down. And they're like, okay, I'm surprised I got out of my chair this morning.
Ruben, you're absolutely correct, because you're going to have to win four matches to face me again.
You're not going to do it.
Yeah, he honestly might do it. He's one of the favorites to win the whole thing.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But let's talk about football.
There you go. It's game day.
It's game day on a Wednesday afternoon. What the hell?
Oh my God.
This entire week 12 thing has been so weird that not only do we have a game on a Wednesday, and the Steelers play Monday night now because of this, against Washington, but the New York Giants lead the NFC East. What?
What is happening?
What? I would not have called the Giants leading the NFC East probably at all this season, and they're leading the division. Granted, it's pretty much a week by week thing who leads it.
Right.
But unfortunately, for Jeff, the Cowboys are the bottom of the barrel in the NFC East, but they're still in it.
Yeah, it's just Giants leading the NFC East. Is, I'll take quintessential 2020 for 200, Alex.
Aw. Rest in peace, Alex.
But for real, the Giants leading the division. I know there's a giant. I know we have our Giants fans, you know, in the chat room. That's fine. But like, of all the shitty teams in that shitty division, like, huh?
Yeah. Elon Brown says Colt McCoy is starting for the Giants. I didn't even realize Colt McCoy was still in the league. I honestly didn't.
That's awesome. Yeah.
How long is Jones out for? I had heard he got hurt, but I don't know.
I actually hadn't heard. To be fair, like I said, along, I don't actively, like, oh my God, watch every game every week. And if the Cowboys aren't directly involved, or there's not some sort of, like, you know, I don't pay attention. So I was not aware that Jones got hurt, and that sucks, because I actually like Daniel Jones. He's, you know, I mean, other than the spaz a few weeks ago, which made for a wonderful fodder on Staff Boy Sports Bar, which I later got thing for and had to delete. it's, you know, he's not a bad player. It's just, you know, again, it's one of those things where, like, it seems like every leading player in the NFL is going to get hurt this year before we're all said and done, or get COVID, one or the other.
That's not the one I wanted to pick, but no. Joe Judge is building a winning culture with the Giants. Well, they still don't have a winning record, so remains to be seen.
Yeah, for real.
Colin says the 8-3 Browns. Yeah, I mean, the Browns are second place in the AFC North.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's by a couple games. Like, if the Steelers knock off the Ravens today, the Browns are in a decent position to make the playoffs for the first time since, what, 2002?
At least. Crazy.
I saw another one. Good afternoon, guys. And what are you guys' thoughts on the Denver situation from Sunday? It's hot garbage.
Yeah, I was going to say, thank you.
Simply because, you know, they gave the Ravens essentially another week to prepare for the Steelers.
Yep.
Which, granted, it gave the Steelers another week to prepare for the Ravens, but it wasn't their fault.
Right.
But to force Denver to go in there without a quarterback at all, when they basically pulled somebody off the street to play quarterback, and you couldn't do that with the Ravens?
Yeah.
Like, with the, because it was basically the same thing. And you're probably going to punish Denver and not punish the Ravens. You punish Denver enough.
That poor running back did his damnedest, man. He really did. But it's just, you know. Terrible. Terrible.
Also, Steve Young, who his history in the NFL is, you know, is well documented. Yes. He said that the Steelers and the Ravens shouldn't play without Lamar Jackson. Piss off, Steve Young. That's what backups are for. Like, you don't get a chance to wait for your starter to be back because of protocol to play a game. That's not how this works. If that was the case, cancel the entire last season because Big Ben was out for 14 games.
Right?
Don't give me that BS. That, oh, we got to wait for Lamar Jackson to play. Why? So you can watch him lose in the first round of the playoffs? If they get out of here with that noise.
Exactly.
It's just so ridiculous. Like, why is in the NFL came to Baltimore?
Yeah.
They're not even in the playoff hunt right now. Are you trying to get them there? Like, what? So bad. England. Like, New England probably isn't getting this kind of treatment, but Baltimore is?
Right.
How much do you have in Lamar Jackson? Honestly. And he's not even that great of a passer.
No.
If he can run, fine. He's a mobile quarterback. He's got that going for him. But he can't pass.
No.
Not in the NFL. Steelers picked him off twice.
Yeah.
They might be better off with RG3 playing. Because he can pass.
Right.
They honestly might be better off this game with Griffin III.
Yeah.
At best. Anyway. Far cry from his college day. But
yes.
You know, just my opinion.
And it should be yours.
Yeah. I did see Mike Gonzalez's comment. Yeah, I think they were trying to get him back. They were trying to get the running backs back too, but that even though they're pulled off, they're still not eligible today.
No.
Good thing you postponed the game just to get your running backs back, and then they can't play anyway.
Yeah, stupid shit.
Freaking jerks. Like, why? What is the point? Like, you delayed the game three times. Who knows? Somebody check Twitter. Maybe they delayed it again.
Right. I'm waiting for it to happen.
Yeah, it's absurd.
And selfishly, you know, we've had to push Mike's show back 2 days now.
Yeah.
And if the show, it's a shit show. If the game goes on as scheduled today at whatever it is, 12:40 our time, you know, we're supposed to be going on sports bar around 3 or 4 our time. So please God.
Yeah. It's just so absurd. I'm sure there's going to be some comments about it with the commentators today. Because I think it's still on NBC. So yay, I get to listen to Chris Collinsworth. Hooray.
Why? Yeah,
It's such a good. And if the Steelers end up winning this game against the Ravens, going to 11-0 and sending the Ravens to, I believe, 6-5.
Yeah.
You know, you have to wonder, it's like, was all this really worth it, delaying the game this much for the result to be this obvious? Not that it's obvious. The Ravens and the Steelers always play each other, but
yes,
much different series than last year was. The fact that the Steelers almost beat the Ravens with a third string quarterback last year, and now you got an even stronger offense and an even stronger defense this year. Come, Baltimore's losing its spot at the top of the AFC North.
Oh yeah.
And honestly, if the Steelers beat the Ravens, then the Ravens can't win the division at all.
Yeah.
Even if they win the next 5 straight and the Steelers lose the next 5 straight, Steelers got the tiebreaker, the head-to-head. Right.
Yeah.
Sorry about your luck.
The thing is, the bottom line is, if we want to kind of put a ball on this one before we get on to the crazy laws of this Georgia, the NFL postponing this game almost a full week and not letting Denver have the same type of leeway or whatever is a double standard. It's bullshit. It's flat out freaking wrong.
It just goes to show the ineptitude of Roger Goodell.
Right.
Because this all falls on him. And people have been calling for the head of Goodell for years.
Yes.
He has proven to be more of a liability than anything in the NFL.
Which is so sad because he started out as a really decent commissioner.
But there's no standards. I'm apologizing for touching my eyes so much. I have something in them.
Yeah.
So I was changing lights earlier.
Oh, geez.
So either dust or something, but it just doesn't make any sense. There's no, like, hey, if you do this, you get fined for this amount. Well, one player does it on the Patriots, they get fined like $10,000. A player does it on the Steelers, they get fined $30,000 for the same thing. It's like, Where's the consistency? Why is there no consistency in penalties? Why are these COVID guidance things not being enforced
across the board?
This is why, right here.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Because you know damn well that none of the players would get paid, which is also complete garbage. I don't know how the NFLPA didn't, how they agreed to that. If a game got canceled, the players don't get paid. Well, it's not the one team's fault. It's like, if this game would have gotten canceled, the Steelers players wouldn't have gotten paid for something that wasn't their fault. Exactly. Why should they get punished? And why aren't the Ravens getting punished? Why are they not being, like, at this rate, causing this many delays, they should be stripped of at least one pick. Me being frustrated, I said they should forfeit the entire draft. That's obviously very severe of a punishment. But come on. Why all of these delays?
Yeah.
Because you want your big players playing in a big game. Well, guess what? Sometimes that doesn't happen. It's called life.
Yeah.
Sometimes they can't play. Bad. Suck it up and deal. This is not flag football. It's the damn NFL.
That's right. So I know we do Q&A at the end, but there's just questions in here that I can't pass up before we get to the next thing. First of all, Michael says, is he worse than the MLB commissioner, Rob Manfred? And also, JJ says, does he study the Bettman book of commissionership? Yeah, right. if you're an NHL fan, you know that we hate Gary Bettman. We can't stand that little twerp, and just he needs to go away. Like, all three of those people mentioned, Goodell, Manfred, and Bettman, it's just like where is the class that Commissioner Foley should be teaching these assholes?
Or Commissioner Regal.
Or Commissioner Regal, exactly.
Or Commissioner Al Snow, because that was a possibility at one point. Like, come on, like any of them.
Yeah. Commissioner Stevie Knighty, damn it. Anyway. And then one more, and then I promise we'll go on. What are the chances of Cody or Kenny being the next GM of the Jaguars since they fired their GM? Yes! Yes! I'm okay with that. No, we're losing Greg big time again here. Oh, geez. It's a 2020 day, folks. He's totally gone now. We totally lost him. Holy crap. Okay. Kent says, do you get bad refereeing in football like you do in football in overseas? Oh, yeah. Refereeing in American sports is pretty crappy across the board. They've gotten better with the NHL referees in the last few years. There's not so many referees I go to a game and I want to, like, throw things at like I used to when I was a kid or even a young or a teen. But MLB umpires are terrible. Terrible, especially Angel, whatever his name is. He's bad. And the football referees are just like Greg said, and it's not just the referees, it goes above to the commissionership and it trickles down. The inconsistency of penalty calls, fines levied, it's so shitty across the board. And it's ridiculous. And I don't understand. I don't understand why it's a thing. Like, I don't know what is the deal. I've just been told by Greg that he has lost internet. So stand by. We'll get him back on momentarily here on the Greg Cherry Show. Because it is his show. So what I'm going to do, just in case, gotta be prepared. JJ, wrestling referees at least are consistent in their craptastic nature. But that's by design because they're supposed to be, you know, quicker referees or whatever. And pro sports referees, I've said this for years, that the human element of professional sports referees is damaging as hell to the sports. I know it's a huge debate and it's a huge, hotbed of controversy and whatever, But the thing is, refereeing should not be down to a human being with human flaws and human drama. That you just know that it's I'm not condemning a human being, because humans are humans, and that humans are flawed people, flawed beings. People as humans, humans are flawed beings by design. They have they don't operate based on instinct alone, like an official should, right? If you have a freaking grizzly bear, you know, in a referee shirt, he's going to do what his gut tells him is the right thing to do to keep going, to survive. That's animal instinct. Humans have that instinct because they are animals by design, but just, it's just terrible that we as human beings also have those flaws of, you know, impaired judgment in some way, or, you know, some sort of bias that you don't really count on having. So I do like that there is the apparently the initiative to have computerized baseball umpiring. I'm okay with that. Can you do it in other sports? I don't know. It really, because you have to have people right there in the moment to call a flag, or, you know, or call a down or whatever. So I don't know how that would work in professional football, but so we'll see. This guy experience says, right, I've said this about referees for years. Exactly. And Kent's talking about the refereeing in the UK, saying we don't want to VAR. Yeah, exactly. I've had to referee my son's soccer games and other things, my friends and things over the years. And I've had to, you know, do sideline stuff at football when I was in high school, and when I've worked at high school. So it's terrible. And yeah, the court system here also is very unfortunately human centric. So it's, there's a lot of ways we can go, but we're going off into the damn weeds. So let me just change the banner here, because we are going to, I'm going to look up if I can find it here. There we go. We're going to go into the weird loss for Georgia. And the reason I actually chose Georgia, for what it's worth, let's see if I can find it here. I know I looked at it earlier today, so just bear with me here. Georgia state laws. Okay. I know that. I don't remember. Let me ask Greg, because he's still working on his stuff here. So let me just. What is the website you use for the weird laws again? Okay. Anyway, I picked Georgia because Sunday, of course, if you're not living under a rock in the wrestling world, is War Games, presented by NXT. There'll be two War Games matches. Again, I don't call them War Games. It's not War Games. It's not really the War Games match. But the very first War Games was in the Omni in Atlanta, Georgia. So I decided, you know what? It's pretty much WCW week on my channel anyway, because I had the all the stuff going on WCW wise Monday. I was talking about a lot of WCW things on my show. And of course, Bagwell yesterday, who was a WCW lifer for, like, because they only had 11 years when he was there. But so I said, you know what? We're going to stick with the topic. They're going to be in Georgia born concept on Sunday with War Games. So that's what we're going to do today. But it looks like Greg's going to be back here in just a second. So I'm going to kind of just dance around this and see if I can go any, I can just stall. This guy experience says that Commissioner Foley references classic. Yeah. I have said for years when it comes to the commissioners in sports, you know, if it was a real thing and it wasn't just, you know, all penciled in by Vince McMahon or whatever, Commissioner Foley was a tremendous authority figure, as was Commissioner / currently General Manager NXT Regal. They're great. They're both great. And yes, thank you, JJ, for reminding me. tomorrow, Thursday, on Wrestling Rewind, if we can get Greg's internet to cooperate and not be a bunch of nonsense like it's doing today, poor bastard, we're going to record the commentary or our watch along of Piper versus Valentine from Starrcade, which was a dog collar match, and it's brutal. I'm not going to lie. If I can get it on the screen, you guys may want to do a little parental advisory before you watch that match. It's barbaric. And then Friday, we're going to talk about Starrcade on Dad's doing the top 10 Starrcade matches. So,
welcome back. Hopefully my internet holds out for the next 15 minutes or so. Xfinity is getting quite the letter today.
Oh, yeah.
Because this has been on and off all day. Our power surged at about 1 o'clock in the morning, turned all our lights on, and knocked them off basically the power grid, which is we couldn't turn them off unless we did it manually because we got all smart bulbs. So right. That was fun going throughout the house and trying to fix that today.
Same house, right?
What's that?
Same house as what I was in, right?
Yes.
That's a big house to be doing that kind of shit in the dark.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, Jesus. That was lots of fun for me. So,
Lordy.
Chris, that's not real.
Please, no.
But I'd like to announce right here on the show, Smoky Mountain Wrestling returning in May of next year. I'm going to be running it. Me and a guy named... Kim Jornette. So there you go.
If you don't know that reference, you're too young for this show. We'll see you next time.
Yes. All right. Let's get to Weird Law Wednesday before my internet craps out again.
Georgia, my mind.
If an organization non-registered as nonprofit fails to register their raffle with a local sheriff, that group risks paying up to $10,000 in fines and spending 5 years in jail.
Jesus.
Yeah, that's insane.
That's like I Love Lucy standard raffle faux pas. Holy crap.
Yes. Also in Georgia, I mean, this might be one of the weirdest laws I've ever seen.
Oh, boy.
The term sadomasochistic abuse is defined so broadly that it could possibly be applied to a person handcuffing another in a clown suit.
Damn. Okay.
How often does sadomasochism happen in Georgia?
Yeah.
Never mind. I don't want to know that answer.
No. Yeah. No.
Also in Georgia, it is illegal to use profanity in front of a dead body, which lies in a funeral home or a coroner's office. Because they're going to tell.
Well, it depends. I mean, if you're in Paul Bearer's, you know, funeral parlor, you know, who knows what's going to happen there? You know.
Then again, if they do tell, I think you have bigger problems.
Right. Right. Yes. Like the first one being, why are they labeled as dead?
Yes.
Anyway,
also in Georgia, donkeys may not be kept in bathtubs. I mean, Georgia just flipped blue, so I don't know if that's applicable.
I understood that reference.
A politics joke. You don't hear those very often on the show. All right.
Well, the thing is, though, the whole thing's a joke, so we might as well.
Yeah, but it's game day, so I can't wear that shirt. So
right. Because it's game day on Wednesday because NFL's a joke. Anyway,
you're not kidding. In Georgia, it is illegal to strike a man on the back or front. How did WCW exist?
I was going to say, how did the company? How did War Games even happen in this damn state? Like, how the hell? Maybe that's a JJ fell on the shoulder at the end of the match because he wanted to hit his front or his back and get break the law.
Yeah, that's why Flair always took the backdrops on the side.
Yes, I was just gonna say that. Thank you for that.
Had nothing to do with a plane crash or anything, but
no. Also in Georgia, anyway.
Also in Georgia, no one may carry an ice cream cone in their back pocket if it is Sunday.
We've had that before in another state. What the hell is
going on? It must be a common thing. But why would you want to carry an ice cream cone in your back pocket anyway? You don't have much time to eat them.
Well, here's my question. I think I asked it on the other one. Is the ice cream on the cone at the time? Because if it's just an empty, like a little cone or a waffle cone, I mean, yeah, your back pocket is probably going to get squashed, but at least if there's no ice cream, you're not going to get messy.
Yeah. I would assume it's the ice cream and the cone.
Okay.
Which makes it really obscure. If it's just like a waffle cone or something that you can't carry it, first of all, why would you want to? It's not a safe place for it.
No.
And I don't get it.
And the thing is, if you're having to, you know, like sneak the cone into your house because you don't want your mom to see you're going to have ice cream, I'm pretty sure you got front pockets that are a little bit bigger.
Possibly.
So.
In Athens, Clark County, Georgia.
Oh.
There's a lot of these, actually. It is illegal for one to make a disturbing sound at a fair.
So you have to stay at the petting zoo, clearly.
Yeah, so I'm guessing you can't like scream bloody murder. You can't, you know, make a moaning sound, and you probably can't say. I was trying to think of a good one for a third joke. You probably can't say.
So basically, you can't go in the petting zoo, go on the coasters, or eat the fair food. Because any of those three, you're going to be making noises. One orifice or another.
Anyway. Yeah. Also in Athens, Clark County, you may not get drunk on the bus. And the bus is in quotation marks. I don't think Jerome Bettis lives in Athens, Clark County. So.
Okay. Don't have to worry about that. If you're on the bus, why are you on top of Jerome drinking? Like, why is that a thing? These things are so stupid.
I know, it's pretty bad.
I love this segment.
I mean, if Jerome Bettis can run over anybody else, why would you want to get drunk on him? He's going to knock you off pretty easy too.
Yeah. Bucking Bronco is a thing.
All right. Jesus. Also in Athens, Clark County, goldfish may not be given away to entice someone to enter a game of bingo.
Okay. Another state fair reference. Goldfish. There you go.
Why are we bartering just to play bingo now? I don't understand the... Because it's not like a prize pool or something that, hey, we have six goldfish here. Prizes go to the top four. So, you know, one of you gets three, another gets two. One person gets three quarters of one and you get the tail. Like, you can't do that.
No. Slight animal abuse.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Yeah.
Also in Athens, Clark County.
Jiminy Christmas.
Massage businesses and adult bookstores may not sell alcohol.
That one actually makes sense.
Yeah, that one could get a little
messy.
Also in Athens, Clark County.
I am not going to Athens, Clark County, Georgia.
Though being forced to close your business is bad enough, Athens, Clark County forces one to obtain a license before holding a going out of business sale.
Wow, that was a lot to unpack there.
Yeah, that was a long way to go to get there.
to get where we got. Oh, boy.
One more from Athens, Clark County.
All right.
This isn't even all of them. I'm skipping over like 10 of them.
Oh my God.
Owners of mules may not allow their animal to roam around Athens unsupervised.
Just make sure you don't keep them in the bathtub either. Yeah. So,
this must be like I'm pretty sure Athens, Georgia is where the Bulldogs play. I'm pretty sure.
Well, we could ask Shivani, but they don't like me right now at the Conradison. So.
Yeah, they can deal. Well, sorry, Jannetty. In Columbus, Georgia. No one may practice the business of tattooing on Sunday.
I mean, that one actually makes a little bit of sense, because tattooing is not exactly a, you know, a good moral thing to some people, and it's Sunday, so I get it.
Yeah. Good luck trying to defend yourself or even support an argument for this one. In Columbus, Georgia, no one may tease an idiot.
Tease an idiot?
Yes. So in Columbus, Georgia, you can't have Twitter.
Yeah. Columbus, go home. You're drunk. That's how, what do you think we do 5 days a week on this damn channel?
Right. Also in Columbus, cussing over the telephone is against the law.
Oh, that's bullshit. I am not going to Georgia at all. I'm not going near Georgia now.
Yep. Also in Columbus, Georgia, bars may not hold a ladies' night.
Okay, that's just sexist and stupid.
Yeah.
Please tell me there's a Cobb County one in here somewhere before we continue on.
Also in Columbus, Georgia, it is illegal for stores to sell cornflakes on Sunday.
Okay.
Just like in Ohio.
What the hell is going on in the South, man? You can't buy cornflakes on a Sunday. What kind of?
Why do people have so many problems with cornflakes? Put some sugar on them. They're frosted flakes then.
I mean, like, I'm not a huge cornflakes or frosted flakes fan myself, but like, I know a lot of people are. So, that's.
I don't know. Oh, yeah. Also in Columbus, Georgia. Columbus, Athens, get your shit together. Right? It is illegal to carry a chicken by its feet down Broadway on Sunday.
Okay, that I can get with. But why not the other 6 days?
The other 6 days, I guess, is fine.
Well, you know, I think what happened is, I think the Iron Sheik was based in Georgia at the time, and he throttled that chicken on the air, so he didn't want to, you know, carry by the feet.
Yeah. So here's my question. Why do some of these laws have more qualifiers than Major League Baseball stats? If you know, you know.
We were talking while you were screwing the internet about, you know, about the referee thing, and I brought up the fact that there's a initiative to have computerized umpiring in Major League Baseball, and I said the whole human. We've said this, you and I, numerous times to each other. Human element in refereeing is what is destroying officiating. Period. Because there's always going to be that guy that came into the game, you know, with a hair up his ass about a bad day or something. So you know what you're going to get out of this guy or girl, for that matter. So I like the idea of the computerized thing, but how do you apply that to football or hockey or, you know, a sport that's not static like baseball? Like
With football, you would have to like line the field with like all this electronic stuff.
Yeah, it's so expensive.
And also put something in the ball to.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of what ifs to go into that. But again, I'm not against it, because like I said, human element is a dangerous thing in any sort of judgment situation, but there's a lot to unpack to make it work. And Ruben with the quote of the morning so far, what the hell? What's wrong with Columbus? What's wrong with Georgia, period?
Well, we're going to hit a couple of wrestler towns back to back here.
Okay.
So AJ Styles, I hope you follow this law, because in Gainesville, Georgia, chicken must be eaten with the hands.
Really? I mean, chicken is a hand food, but you know, like a chicken breast, you're going to cut that up. So
I guess.
Interesting. Okay.
And this one's for you, Cody, in Marietta, Georgia.
And Bagwell.
Though it is illegal to spit from a car or a bus, citizens may spit from a truck.
I understand why the roads drive trucks down. There you go.
Son of a plumber. Let's find one more here.
Grandson of a plumber.
This will be the final one.
Okay.
And I have zero comments after reading. Like, I think everybody just needs to let this one settle in. and then move on and without saying a word.
And we're at the hour, so go for it, brother.
In Roswell, Georgia, the flooring of adult bookstores and video stores must be non-absorbent and smooth textured.
Oh my God.
Good night.
And we're done. For Greg Cherry, I'm Joe Bishop saying, good night, everybody. Oh my God.
Yeah, I'm not.
Yeah. I would say I'm not touching it, but that just makes more comments happen. So,
So that's the weird laws of Georgia.
That one I can get behind. That's okay. That one's all right. Oh, and true, Ruben. Marietta is also Armstrong country. We can't forget the Armstrongs in our Georgia talks because if you didn't know, then you asked me to call somebody because I love me the Armstrongs, man. I love all those guys.
Man, I just have Brad Armstrong's WCW theme playing through my head.
Right. The curse of the Armstrongs is going to hit us on the Greg Cherry show.
That's a badass theme, though.
It is. It really is. And they were the only ones to use it. Nobody else in WCW in that Dan Turner library got that song. Nobody.
Good. Nor should they. I mean, that is the Armstrong family theme song.
Hell yes.
All right. So, Q&A time.
Here we go.
And let me also say, where is it?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
After what happened on Friday, seeing this beautiful piece of gold.
That's right.
On Quizzlemania for a guy who's been champion as of Friday, this coming Friday, for 1,000 days. It's going to happen. Yeah. I'm going to make it happen.
Right.
And as a fan Quizzlemania champion, come on.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, I was very outspoken to Quizzlemania last week when we were taping the show. And Greg did a masterful editing job, and I thank you for that.
By design.
But you guys just need to just, you know, step up or, you know, let Greg step up and show you why you're a bunch of wusses.
Even if I, here's the thing. I don't even care if I win. And that's weird for me because I'm super competitive.
Yes.
I don't even care if I win. I just want the opportunity to go on there and be entertaining. That's what I want.
Right.
Exactly. That's all I want. And if I'm entertaining and they bring me back for more, so be it.
There you go.
And if I win, then you can call me the greatest of all time. Either way.
But you already are, my friend.
Because let's see, I've won this. I've won the King of the Marks. I've won the Talkamania Trivamania Championship, which is now held by our own Chris Cass. I'm a fan Quizzlemania champion. I mean, I'm basically Ultimo Grigan with wrestling trivia.
Exactly. Which was the goal by December. So there you go.
It was the goal. I mean, granted, I'm not holding all those simultaneously. Like, I don't have the Talkamania one anymore.
No.
But I'm technically still the reigning fan Quizzlemania champion. So three belts is still happening. Here you go.
So this question was asked while your internet was being in the back of the short bust category. I wonder if WWE will do something special, not just for Pat, but do something along the line, like having the IC title main event a pay-per-view and maybe main event a TLC or the Rumble. I did mention that would be a nice tribute. And I said it earlier, I'm not trying to deride my friend Sami Zayn. They're not going to have a main event pay-per-view right now. Sami's not main event guy. He's just not. So,
yeah.
Am I wrong there? Or, you know,
unless they give him an opponent that will, like, take the title from him in that main event and, right, like, build a nice story around it.
Right.
But the idea is nice. I mean, the Rumble is main eventing the Rumble pay-per-view anyway. Let's be honest.
It's very rare that it hasn't, so...
I mean, it's possible that it won't. It's happened before. I think the last time the Rumble didn't actually close out the show was the year you were here, 2013, because it was the Rock and Punk.
Because the Rock, yeah.
But, yeah, the Rumble typically closes the Rumble pay-per-view. Yeah. And I think as long as they dedicate the Rumble matches to him, that's good enough for me.
I agree with that.
Because it was his baby, and that's what I think they should do.
Yeah. Elon says, besides the actual Rumble match, what's your favorite match at Royal Rumble? I'm assuming he means over the course of the last 30.
Right. What's our favorite non-Rumble match?
Pay-per-view match. Right, right, right.
Clearly, The Undertaker and IRS at 95. No. Clearly. I'm sure a lot of people don't even know that match happened.
You know what? I was going through watching, I had forgotten. And then I went, wait a minute. They showed the highlights during WrestleMania against Bundy.
Yeah.
So I knew in some part of my mind it actually happened, right? And I'm watching, I'm like, when did this? Oh, well, that's right.
For the longest time when I was a kid, I thought that was an Intercontinental title match. I was like,
yes!
You thought it too?
I you know what? Like not as a kid, because I was so like focused in, like whatever. But yeah, I for some reason like I knew that it was Jarrett and Razor at for the IC title. But when I would go back and watch, I go, why is this happening? Like, yeah. And is it a title match? And I thought, oh no, he's trying to collect on a death tax, which is oh okay. But it's 95 WWF, so that's that's duh. No kidding. Yeah, I just what's so funny is like I wanted so bad for Mike Rotundo to have a program with Undertaker because I love both those guys, but just I mean like you know other than the whole only two certainties in life, death and taxes thing to tie it in, there's really not a whole lot there other than he's part of the $1 million corporation that Taker's running through,
right?
So it really just
as far as like our actual favorite match, I was at a Rumble Live and Daniel Bryan and Bray Wyatt tore the house down.
Oh yeah.
So that one was fun. Besides the actual Rumble match, Shawn and Triple H last man standing.
That was damn good.
Rock and Mankind, I Quit.
You know, it's funny. JJ suggested we watch that on Rewind, in January.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that. I really want to ask Aaron to be on with us because he was there.
Right.
And he does make a cameo in the Rumble match, which would be fun to watch too. But I mean, I don't know if it's a favorite because it's very, even not knowing the Foleys are in the front row, it's a very hard match to watch.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those matches where it's historic,
right?
But it is hard to watch all those chair shots.
Yeah. My favorite Battle Royal Rumble pay-per-view match is actually Triple H and Cactus from 2000. I love that match to pieces. I do. I always have.
Benoit and Jericho ladder match.
I was going to say the following year you had Benoit and Jericho and you had Hunter and Kurt, which is they're both great. So you know, kind of hard to argue with Triple H at the Royal Rumble, I guess. Because at any show, I guess. Because Hunter always
Don Marie and Torrey Wilson. Oh, sorry.
Well, I prefer their segment in the hotel room. Anyway,
but yeah, there were lots of good matches that happened at the Rumble that weren't the actual Rumble match.
I mean, what's funny is for a show that's very centered on a hour long match, two of them now,
which I love.
Oh, I know you do. I wish I could have been at your house 3 years ago. That would have been awesome. That would have been awesome to have you experience that with you. That would have been really cool. Mm-hmm. But they do have a lot of great, you know, undercard stuff at the Rumble. And I hope that even though they may be in the Thunderdome, that they still do that this year. That'd be nice to have a great undercard under that show on those matches. Cause you know, yeah, it's 2 hours, but you know, you can't just build the entire show on it without, you know, some sort of support system, you know, and that's the thing show. So,
I mean, probably, I don't want to say it was the last good non-Rumble match, but Edge and Ziggler.
Yeah. That was surprisingly, the story was
actually not true. Triple threat in 2015.
Oh yeah. Yep. Yeah. That was good.
Cena, Rollins, Lesnar. Yep.
Yeah. It's one of the few times where I look at a Brock match. I go.
Yep.
Cause that was damn good. All three of them were damn good in that match. Mm-hmm. Cleaver, our buddy Colin in Ohio with the other weird loss we had a couple weeks ago. Do you feel the women's War Games match is even necessary this Sunday?
I mean, it's for the sake of doing the War Games match. because I mean they're doing the double cage, the double ring anyway.
Right.
At least I think they are. Has it been confirmed that they're doing the double ring, or are they just going to do it all eight in one?
I'm not sure how they're going, because I mean they're still going to be in the Thunderdome. I don't know if they're going to reconfigure it or what.
Well, aren't NXT in a different building? Like, aren't they in the where the
Cruiserweight Classic? They're at the PC or wherever. They're the Capitol Wrestling Center. Thank you for reminding me of that. Yeah. So I don't know if they're going to reconfigure that. Yeah, I mean, because do they do that and then turn it right back around for Wednesday? It's interesting to think about, because there's, again, this whole situation we're in right now with this pandemic and everything is just so unprecedented. Yeah. In any facet of our lives. So for WWE to have to try to figure out, I mean, yeah, it's all in-house, because you don't have to worry about, renting, like the Amway or anything. You're in your own house, right? But how much do you want to spend for the sake of one night?
Now, here's my question. The babyface team only has three announced participants, correct?
For now, yes.
Yeah, so it's Shotzi, it's Rhea, and it's Ember. Is Io the third?
Ember.
Oh, Ember.
Io's not on the card yet.
See, I feel like this match is going to be the heels win, and whoever gets the pin or the submission will be Io's next challenger.
Well, I predicted on Monday when I talked about this show that it's going to be Io in that fourth spot. And because I did ask the room how close Tegan Knox was to being back, and I was told not going to happen.
So, I mean, it could be like a Cena situation where they over-exaggerate the injury and perhaps because think about the storyline with her and Dakota Kai.
Right. Well, right.
Where did it all start? War Games. Guys in War Games.
Right. That's why I asked, because Dakota and Raquel are both in the cage, but it's like MCL. Less than 2 months after, that's a hard
phone. Again, they could have been overselling it, because they told us that Cena wouldn't be back for a year in September or October, whenever No Mercy was. October, I think.
Yeah.
And he was back competing and winning the Rumble match in January.
With all due respect to everybody else, John Cena. The guy's freaking, he's freaking Kryptonian. Okay. Yeah. He just is. So I'm not undermining anybody else that's come back quick or whatever. And he'll even tell you now to this day, like, that was not probably the smartest idea, but it made for a hell of a moment. We're not going to deny that at all at the Rumble.
Yep.
And into No Way Out and Mania, which I was at. So yeah, but I don't know if it was a full-on MCL, ACL, then I doubt it. But again, if they were exaggerating it, and again, they didn't exaggerate John's injury. He really did tear his pec off the damn bone, right?
Yeah.
But he rehabs because he's freaking insane. So anyway.
I guess we'll see what happens. I really don't expect them to fill that fourth spot tonight. And if they do, then I'm wrong. But
right. So I'm going to acknowledge this, because we acknowledge Super Chats on Aaron's channel, so I'm not going to glaze over it. However, I made it very clear what the story was about with TJS on the show Monday, I believe it was, or maybe even yesterday. So it's not a quiet reason why it happened, this guy experienced. So I encourage you to do a little Twitter digging regarding No DQ and a gentleman named John Alda, and I'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
He also asks, would you ever do a football trivia challenge?
I could host it.
Right.
I would not compete in it, because while I love football, my football trivia knowledge is nowhere close to as strong as my wrestling trivia knowledge. No. So if we did football, it would probably exclusively be Greg Cherry and Jeff Meacham Network. Probably not on the No DQ channel, because he doesn't watch football, so what does he care? But it's a possibility. We can possibly do something with that and tie it into some of the football seasons, but we'll see. We'll see what happens.
on the trade, I meant to mention this earlier, but we were having so many internet issues. I didn't want to tell you that actually you being here. We got asked yesterday about Mike Tanay, Mark's feelings about Mike Tanay and about Mark Madden. The Mark Madden comments were good stuff. But almost as good as the, actually, he actually wished the same thing on him he did on Conrad. I'm like, oh, I'm going to hell. But Mike Tanay got praise because it's Mike Tanay. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned to Mark that Tanay had given me the original Professor nickname back in 2002. Yep. And that, you know, he was astounded by it because I was just rattling shit off to him on the air. And he was just like, you're like an encyclopedia. Just so you rattle. And then I mentioned to Buff later when you had asked your questions mm-hmm. on the show. And then we went off the air. He goes, that guy seems like he knows a lot. I'm like, yeah, he's the one to beat me for the trivia mastership. He goes, why is he not like doing a trivia thing about everything? I said, because he's not an expert on everything. He just knows a lot about a lot. And he said, well, does he have his own wrestling trivia show? He's like, he's actually going to host the tournament for the next round. He goes, oh, I'm about to watch that. Actually, because he went back and watched the post game apparently.
Nice.
So he was like, you guys were just having so much fun, man. I'm like, that's what we do.
Yeah.
So, all right. This guy experience also says, do you, with the $2 super chat. So again, thank you for the $4 altogether. Do you see Cedric Alexander winning the US/IC title? I mean, anything's possible.
Yeah. I mean, I would like to see him and Shelton actually win the tag team titles because.
Yes. 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 Yes.
I love the New Day. Always love the New Day.
Yes.
My but man, give the Hurt Business their due. The Hurt Business is killing it this year.
Yeah. They are up for Faction of the Year if in the NerdyQ.com year in awards. If they don't they win, I want to see every vote and why. Like, who's been more dominant as a faction this year in any brand of the company?
Any company
for that matter. I mean, really. The Inner Circle? Jericho's been champion. That's fine. The best friends were Orange Cassidy. No, just different. No, Hurt Business has been kicking ass, and they weren't supposed to. They had a guy who's been gone forever. They had a guy whose equity as a main eventer was shit. They had Shelton Benjamin, who's just been there and doing, you know, spinning his wheels, and Cedric, who's been, you know, almost ricocheted into obscurity. They are the greatest success story of this year in this crazy pandemic by far.
Man, I want one of them to win a world title. I really do. Make an MVP. Yeah. Make MVP win the world title.
Right. I'm fine with your MVP or Lashley being a world champion. And Bobby Shelton to be champion.
I wanted Shelton to be champion since 2004. Right.
I'm fine with any of the heavyweights of that group being a world champion. They all deserve it, Lord knows. Yeah. So, all right, I'm going to see what we got here. All right, so two more questions, and then we'll go ahead and do the thing.
Yeah.
Chris says, best Rumble moment. I leave it to the Rumble expert.
Best Rumble moment. I mean, Edge coming back last year was huge.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Flair winning.
Yeah.
I don't want to go too in depth with this because I don't want to take away from the Rumble video that I do,
or of course,
the series of videos that I'm going to do, which I might simulcast. Haven't decided.
Are you, you're not doing them live. You're pre-recording.
No, I'm okay. No, not okay. Doing them live. Okay. Yeah. Cause I have to like be with my thoughts, and I'm probably going to sound very scripted when I do it. Cause I'm going to write out my thoughts.
Of course.
And read them off a teleprompter. But yeah, it's one of those things where I have to sound. I mean, everybody knows I know a lot of stuff about the Rumble, but I also have to sound intelligent. So I want to make sure my thoughts are coherent and not a bunch of uhs and ums.
Right.
So
exactly.
So those are two moments. Those are just a teaser as far as great Rumble moments.
If you look back in the history of the Rumble and the history of Ric Flair and what that meant on so many levels, you know, the NWA WCW World Heavyweight Champion standing there with Mean Gene, the WWF announcer Quintessential, and Mr. Perfect and Bobby Heenan, two WWF, you know, megastars at his side,
And the first thing he says with a tear in my eye, this is the greatest moment of my life. Mm. Shit. The promo is the moment. I'm really.
Put that cigarette out.
That's it. I cannot wait to watch that. I just want to make sure I wear my Depends when I do. All right. Final question of the day. Final score prediction for today between Baltimore.
You know, I feel like the Ravens are going to be without a lot of offensive weapons, and they're facing one of the best defenses in the NFL. And anybody on PFF football who says the Steelers are overrated 10-0 team, piss off.
Yes.
No other team in the NFL right now is undefeated. Not even your beloved Kansas City Chiefs. So there you go. So I would say final prediction for the Steelers Ravens. I'm going to say it'll be a relatively low scoring affair. I'm going to say 24-14 Steelers.
There you go, brother. All right. With your permission, I did want to close out where we started with one more Pat Patterson anecdote, if you will, from a guy who has always praised Pat for everything that Pat did for this man. And I'll actually leave it on the screen as I read it, and then we'll sign off for the day. So let me just bring it up. Do that. And it says, and Michael Cole would say, and I quote, "Rest in love, Pat. You'll be missed. Rough calls to get this morning to tell me our dear family member, Pat Patterson, who was my pro wrestling mentor and father figure, has passed away. A WWE Hall of Famer, true trailblazer, and one of the most brilliantly creative wrestling minds the industry has ever known. He was also responsible for calling Vince McMahon when I was training to become a pro wrestler, my $7 days, and said, 'Vince, you got to see this kid work in the ring.' Vince flew me to Raw a few weeks later. I had my first match in Corpus Christi, Texas, ever. The rest is history, and years later, here I am writing this post. Cue Sinatra's My Way, Pat's favorite song. I've lived a life that's full. I've traveled each and every highway, but more, much more than this, I did it my way. Love you, Pat, and thank you. I'll see you down the road."
Yeah. I saw that this morning, too, and I was like, think about how much influence Pat Patterson had in the business and really in the world, because The Rock is the biggest movie star out there.
Yeah.
So without Pat Patterson discovering him and sending him to Vince, Dwayne Johnson would not be a well-known name other than formerly playing college football for the University of Miami.
Which isn't a bad resume, I think, either.
Well, it depends who you ask.
oh, shit. Back then, at least.
I mean, we're talking Catholics versus convicts here, Notre Dame and Miami. So
But the U was the U back then, man. I mean, come on.
It still kind of is the U. Like
right,
if you've
right.
watched them recently.
Right,
but,
right.
And it's possible the two of them could meet in the ACC championship if Clemson falls to Florida State and Miami takes care of their business. But
which would be okay with me if Clemson fell. I'd be, yeah. Oh boy.
Yeah, Clemson's not losing to Florida State. The ACC title game's going to be Notre Dame Clemson. The Irish are already there.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. For sure.
It doesn't matter what Notre Dame does against Syracuse, even though Notre Dame's 33.5-point favorites. Yeah, Notre Dame's going to take care of business Saturday. They're going to take care of business in the ACC title game. And even if they don't, they probably still have a shot to make the playoff.
For sure.
But we'll discuss that later in December.
Yes, for sure.
I got to get the question writing.
Right. And don't forget tomorrow, as of now anyway, we'll see if the recording gets done with Greg's internet having a moment. So see that. We're going to lose color integrity here for just a second, so bear with me here because I got to change over to my stuff. Come on. There it goes. Hi. Load. You can do it. There. Well, okay. That's not what I wanted to do, but okay. First of all, get rid of that. There we go. Okay. So tomorrow, of course, we're going to talk about – it's December, so it's Starrcade. So we're going to be talking about the one of the most brutal matches I've ever seen in my life. And this is back in 83 when it didn't happen a whole lot like this. Roddy Piper versus Greg Valentine in a dog collar match in the middle of the Greensboro Coliseum. It just, ugh, crazy, crazy. Have you seen this match?
No.
Okay. Like I said, strap in. It's hard to watch, but it's,
I'm sure it's a bloodbath.
Pretty much. I mean, if you watch the network, when they do the highlights or whatever, when they're showing it, they pretty much gray everything out like right away when they get the stuff on the air. It's tough, like I said, but I'm such a Roddy Piper fan, as is JJ and my sister and everybody. So I really wanted to watch at least one of his, a Starrcade match with him in it, because people forget, like, he literally had that match with Valentine by the following spring. They were both gone. Mm. Valentine was Intercontinental freaking champion by the end of that next year. And Piper only didn't wrestle right away because his ear was shot. So he had to manage, first Dr. D, and then, of course, Orndorff, and off went to Mania. Anyway, my friend, I appreciate you letting me on and talking more than I needed to today, because, you know,
yeah,
it is what it is. Sports Bar tonight on the Jeff Beach Network with Mikey and I, if the game happens.
Well, let's see. 227, they haven't canceled the game yet, as far as right. I know.
And it's scheduled for what, 340?
340, so.
Yeah. Hour 13 to still have it screwed up here.
Yep. The game looks like it's still happening. So.
Woohoo! Well, I'll see you guys in about 4.5 hours or so.
All right. And go Steelers. It's game day on a Wednesday. I don't remember, and I wish I would have looked it up beforehand, when the last time the NFL had a Wednesday game was. I feel like it would have been like a Christmas Eve game, perhaps, probably, or something like that. But other than that, I'm not sure.
Well, I'll have the stat boy look it up, and he'll have it at the top of hour four today. So there you go.
There you go. So Steelers game playing in an hour, and stay tuned for my series of Royal Rumble videos coming probably either late December, early January, probably the latter, honestly.
Right.
And also the Wrestling Trivia Challenge Championship Tournament, which will be happening beginning of next year, simulcast on all three, because that was fun. That was fun to do the simulcast and do the live post show right after.
I have been asked to, if I'm doing anything besides being a contestant guy, to minimize my stuff, because post game took an hour. Yesterday took four.
Yeah. Well, it's okay. You got a month to prepare. It'll be post Christmas at least.
Right. Exactly. So
until then, for Jeff Meacham, I am, of course, the longest reigning Wrestling Trivia Challenge champion in history. 1,000 days this Friday. And we would like to thank you all for joining us. And we will see you all next time. Where? On the Greg Cherry Show. Here.